helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Riker, National Director for our Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And my guest with me today is Dawn Mass. Dawn, welcome.
Thank you so much. This is fun. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time, so thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad you're here, and I have too. Let me give the audience just a brief rundown, a little bit of your background and bio. Dawn is a Christ follower married to Mark, who is a physician with four adult children who are all involved in medicine in some way. She's a grandmother, adores her dogs, and works at her father's Christian bookstore. Been a writer for Encouragement Cafe and other magazines for over a decade. Dawn is a cancer survivor and survived it during the 2020 pandemic and lives currently in the Virginia Shenandoah Valley, beautiful, beautiful area of the country, where she performs stand-up comedy, which, okay, we're not going to be talking about your stand-up comedy, but that one's, I cannot avoid asking you. So when did you start, what prompted you to start doing that, and what was your first set like when you did that?
Oh, wow, what a loaded question. I think all my life I've been, people have said, oh, you're so funny, but you know, what are you supposed to do with that? Just, you know, I disrupted classrooms and stuff in high school, and it just never really got me anywhere. And then a couple of years ago, I was actually buying bagels, as you do, and there was a flyer in the bagel shop that said, you know, come to a clean comedy class. And so I thought, oh, I'll just call and see what happens. And then they were offering a class on stand-up. I took it. The timing was a little off because my very first set was 2 days after my mom died. And I sent a message to all of my siblings and I said, I'm supposed to do this comedy performance thing for a contest. I think I'm going to drop out because this just wouldn't be respectful. And all of my siblings, I'm the oldest of seven, said, no, you should do it. You should do it. And I thought, okay, fine. So I did it and I won. I won the award for the showstopper of the evening and I've been doing it ever since.
Oh, wow. Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be talking about something else as well. The book that you just wrote, Soul Care for the Medical Marriage, right here. I have copy right in my hands.
Okay.
And
good.
Let's maybe back up and talk about why write a book. This is, I should mention, is really more of a devotional than anything, right? It's
correct.
What prompted you to write a devotional specifically for medical marriages?
My husband started med school about 30 couple years ago, and the city we moved to, I didn't want to live there. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to go on this crazy train. And, I started journaling, and the more I journaled, the more I felt like God was saying, this is where I have not just him, but both of you. And it became, we kind of grabbed onto this team mentality. It's like, we're in this together. It's not just, he goes to med school. It was a family, we were really a family involvement. So, I started, like I said, my journaling kind of led me to writing for, Focus on the Family's Physician Magazine, which is no longer in print. And so through that, I just kind of, the ball kind of started rolling and I really felt like there was a pivotal moment when he started med school where we met a couple who just was very, very discouraging to us. And I felt in that moment, I could do one of two things. I could do what they said and fall down the rabbit hole of, you know, medical marriages that are difficult and don't make it, or we could, like I said, be a team. And we decided to do the latter.
Yeah. This, I should have mentioned earlier, this book has been an encouragement to my daughter, who is married to a fourth year surgical resident down in Texas. And so, although that's not been my journey in medicine, I've vicariously just understood some of those challenges. I've simply, tried to help walk alongside her when she's managing three young ones. She's got, I should also have mentioned, three grandkids. Yeah. it's almost like being a single mom. And so, what are some of the pressures that you see so often with, and we're going to be talking mostly probably about women married into medicine specifically. What are challenges you typically see, pressures that women often face?
I think the single mom thing is definitely the top. And I do remember many, many moments of feeling like I can't do this anymore. You know, our kids were boom, 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 all four of them. And I just remember feeling like I'm doing this by myself. I'm doing this on my own. So I will say, and this is going to sound like a really holy thing to say, and not every day was great and wonderful, but I think it had me leaning into Jesus more because my husband was at home and I really had to set an example for our kids of, okay, we're not going to fall apart. We're going to take this to the Lord. And whenever there was a conflict or whatever. So I think that was it. Not every day was that beautifully orchestrated. Some days we really did fall apart. And we picked ourselves back up and we started back over. But yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing, especially if you have children, just being alone, feeling alone. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how do you best address that? Because we aren't created to do this journey alone. And correct. And yet this, the pressures that a medical marriage faces are, I trust need to be owned by both spouses. Like you said, this is not just your husband's calling. This is yours too. And so how does that help you stay anchored and persevere and stay resilient?
Yeah, what a great question. I think for us, we did things a little bit differently maybe than some other medical families. Everybody's got to figure out like where their niche is and where they need to settle in. We homeschooled our kids, so there was that. And we really did that as a team too. Mark did all the math and science because, you know, I did not want to, nor was I capable of any of that. And so we really had a team effort on that, which I think was good. And I think for us, we broke it down into smaller bites. Especially when he was in med school and residency, every couple of weeks he would have an exam or move to a new rotation or whatever. And we would just say, okay, instead of looking at the big picture, which felt super overwhelming, we just said, okay, we're just going to, okay, 2 weeks, then 2 weeks, then 2 weeks until this is done.
The book, as I mentioned, is more of a devotional. How important was that intention of being more of a devotional for communicating this idea of soul care? I mean, there's a lot of opportunity to go to the Word, and you point your readers to the Word, and there's prayers at the end. How important was that for you to really make this more of a devotional than anything else?
It was probably, for me, it was two things. One, I've been writing and speaking with Encouragement Cafe since 2011 or 12, somewhere in there. And whenever I write for them, it is a devotional format, very much like what I used in the book. And I felt like a book that you just pick up and read cover to cover is going to feel like an assignment. And I know what it's like. I needed just little snippets of encouragement. I couldn't read a 200-page book or whatever when I was raising our kids and Mark was busy so much. So I felt like I just needed to make little bites of encouragement to get people to feel like they're seen.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
We would like to invite you to the CMDA Marriage Enrichment Weekend, January 16th through 18th in St. Augustine, Florida. It's a fantastic place in January to come and get away from the busy, hectic practice and spend some time with your spouse.
We've gotten to do these Marriage Enrichment Weekends four or five times before we decided to start helping facilitate them. Each time they were just really good preventative maintenance, we called it. So whether you're in a good spot in your marriage and just want to have some time together, do some things that help you to grow, or maybe you're in a time of struggle and you need a team of people to come alongside you and encourage you and give you some tools and skills.
I think you'll be blessed if you set aside the time to spend time with your spouse, to get away from the busyness of life, children, practice, all the things that are tugging at your time. But I think that God will honor that time that you set aside with one another.
So there's a lot to do down there. You might even want to come a day early or stay a day late, but we'd encourage you to join us.
Feel like they're seen, like they're understood, that somebody,
absolutely,
somebody's walked this journey alongside them. And again, it goes back to your earlier comments, they're not alone. Mm-hmm. They're not alone.
No.
let's expand that a little bit on the idea of not alone. What kind of incarnational opportunities are important? I mean, this is, you know, opportunity for the reader to get closer to Jesus, to abide closely, more closely with him. But I trust that the physical manifestation of community is got to be important just as much. Explain how that is important and how a person can find that, because that's not always easy to find in the busyness, right, of the schedules and the and the pressures.
Yeah, another good question, actually. For us, we did several different, because when you're doing medical training, you have to move around a lot. So we found a church when Mark was in medical school, and the majority of the congregants were either in medicine, married to medicine.
Oh, wow.
And so for us, that was a really, and our small group actually was full of doctors. So for us, I really felt like people understood us. Nobody was discouraging at all. They were like, you can do this. You know, they were kind of, I just felt like we were running this marathon, and I'm not a runner. I don't know. I would not, I rebuke that, but, I felt like they, you know, we were running along and they were just cheering us on and saying, you can do this, you can do this. And that was great for us. We've had the opposite as well, where we would be in churches where we maybe we'd be the only medical people. And that was a very different scenario.
Yeah. My daughter faced something similar when they were in medical school a bit, just maybe not always understanding the demands, and that it's not a question of commitment or desire, that one can't always be there, especially the one going through, you know, the trainee in particular. And that can be a struggle for a lot of folks, feeling almost maybe guilt or disappointment or whatever that might be. So,
right. That's very true. Yeah.
Now, you called it soul care for the medical marriage. You know, so often in our culture, there's, you know, what's the big buzzword? You know, self-care. You got to care for yourself, you know, whatever that is. Yeah. Pamper yourself, you know, go to a day spa, whatever that might be. But how is soul care different than self-care?
Ooh, I think as a Christian, it's continually, constantly going to the cross and saying, God, I can't do this without you. I can't, you know, and really leaning hard into the word and into the Lord to carry us. I feel like that, and to care for our soul in that way, you know, you can't pour out of an empty vessel. And so if we continue that relationship with the Lord and we continue to do all those things, life is not going to be perfect. Sometimes it's just going to be hard, but in the hard moments, you've got a good foundation.
I've marked this book up quite a bit. One of the, for our talk, but also just some of the nuggets, there's quite a few gems. And like you said, it's bite-sized so that people can kind of, you know, they can kind of dip in and out as needed as well. You know, it is so easy to get covered over with all the demands and all the pressure, especially if you've got young children. How do you keep in a medical marriage the marriage staying fresh and not just another thing you check off, you know, not just another to do, but really genuinely breathe life into it and help it grow and flourish?
That's a tough one. I really feel like we can, for Mark and I at least, we've been married 30 plus years. I think for us, we get to look back. You know, people who are just starting out this journey, like our son and daughter-in-law, and our second son, and our third son, and our daughter, all of them, they are just starting out. And so they don't have the advantage of being able to look back and go, wow, remember 10 years ago, we were really struggling, and the Lord really came through for us that way or whatever. And we have that advantage. And it's such a blessing to be able to say, wow, you know, sometimes were difficult. They were hard. We were just barely keeping our head above water, but we can look back and see, God sustained us here and here and here and here and here. And for us, that's good. I think our new thing is kind of like, I have this real heart for not just medical marriage, but for those in med school, and those, like our sons at med school in Lynchburg. And just really when I'm around those students, I love to absorb what they're doing and what they have to say. And it's kind of come a little bit around, just kind of full circle. They will come up to us and say, so how do you do this? And how do you, and it's great. Like, we don't know everything, but for people to be able to feel comfortable to tap in and say, yeah, we're just really struggling with, pray for us, or what do we do, or what, you know, how could you advise us? That's really helpful.
Yeah, I think being very genuine and creating space for that authenticity is important, because
yes.
One thing my daughter has really grieved over is some marriages not surviving in her sphere,
yes.
in her orbit, and
yeah.
For whatever reason, maybe no indicators, no warning lights were flashing, and enough for her to be able to pick up. And I think the idea of having some people in one's life that you can be transparent and open with is so key, because
yeah.
it's so easy to live in isolation and to and maybe not cry out until maybe it might be too late. So
yeah, and I think that's exactly where the enemy wants us. He wants to think, he wants to, that lie of, oh, you're alone, no one understands, mm-hmm. you know, you'll never get out of it, whatever. And so when we lean into that lie and live it out, I think mm-hmm. that's when we get into trouble.
Yeah.
But if we can be, if we can go to other people and say, I'm really, really struggling, you know, to have that accountability and to have that with other people, whether they're doctors or not, it doesn't mm-hmm. even really matter. But just to have that, and I think in the medical community, people think, oh, doctors' families, they have all the money,
exactly.
and they have all the, and I'm like, oh, please, you know, it's not
yep.
that way.
No, everybody thinks you have a charmed life, like nothing
yeah.
goes wrong, right? But
yeah, you don't get cancer, and you know, you don't right. have, you know, you don't have there all these things, and it's not true.
No, mm-hmm. no, it isn't, and that's what makes. It's what makes the isolation even more insidious, because people have certain expectations of what your life should be like, and so it's easy to
yes.
keep up appearances, as it might be.
Of course, yeah.
Or at least attempting to do so. I'm going to make a shameless plug. We're CMBA.
Okay.
And
okay.
We've got a ministry called Side by Side.
Yeah.
Tell us, what's been your engagement with them, and maybe if you know, given your experience with them, how is
sure.
that ministry an effective community to help create the support, as we've been talking about?
Sure. Actually, to be full disclosure, I actually have never been part of a side-by-side chapter
okay.
for the sole reason that every place we've lived hasn't had one.
Fair enough.
So
well.
I would love to have had that, but
sure.
I didn't. This wasn't available. I think the closest one to us now is about maybe half an hour away. So we're getting closer.
Okay.
But I have written devotions for them through Side by Side. And that's been fun. I've been able to do that, pull some things from the book or whatever. And then our son, who was in Lynchburg last year in medical school, they were part of a very vibrant Side by Side Bible study, marriage Bible study.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the endorsements in the book was from one of their leaders, which I thought was just, I was thrilled. So we've had the kind of, you know, we've been on the outskirts, but we've never really technically been involved.
Sure. I know, been somewhat adjacent, but I think you having, you know, been a voice within Side by Side, having written mm-hmm. some devotions and other things, certainly understand the value. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, I think it speaks to just how important it is that it maybe just, you know, I know this is Side by Side, a growing ministry, continues to grow, and there are going to be plenty of gaps in places where it doesn't exist. But my daughter faced some of the similar challenges. Was in a couple of areas where either it happened and it died, and she was thinking, okay, how do we rejuvenate this? And it's, you know, just covenanting with a couple of other women was what it took to try to see something mm-hmm. develop. And but so any people listening. If you don't have a side-by-side chapter, reach out. We can see what we can do to kind of make those connections. It's been a very life-giving ministry for my daughter and for so many other women, as you've, and again, as it's touched your family as well. So, what's been the response of the book? As people have been reading through, have you gotten some feedback? And if so, what?
Yes, I actually, speaking of being shameless, I just, I went through all my contacts on my phone and was just like, I'm sending, and I sent out a bunch of free copies, I sent one to you, and I feel like the response has been very good. Right after it was published in March, we, CMD had a Remedy conference, and I packed up the books and took them there, and that was fantastic. One lady bought 10 right off the table, so
great.
I was pretty happy, yeah.
That was at Liberty, right? That was at Liberty East. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. So it was, that was good. And then just here and there, people will text me just randomly. I'm in the middle of reading it and I love it. A couple people text and say, I read it through cover to cover. And I'm like, ooh, that wasn't really how it was supposed to be used, but that's okay. I just, well, so there's a mess.
Maybe they go back over it again, slower next time.
Maybe. Yeah. I think the funny thing to me is I've had people who are in no way connected with medicine at all. Mm. Several pastor's wives have reached out and said, just take the word doctor out and put pastor, and I can identify with every bit of this.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
I felt like the experience that you get with the CMDA placement services is personalized because they are centered around God. They really care about me as a person and wanting to help me to find the spot that God wanted me to be. They prayed for me over the phone and also looked over my contract before I signed with the practice that I ultimately joined.
15 years ago, I had a very specific request. Felt like the Lord had called me back from medical missions to do an OB training in family medicine, but to do an OB fellowship. At that time, I was very restricted in my time. And so during my OB fellowship, I only had a few days off for the whole year. So I reached out to CMDA at that time. Alan and his team worked diligently and literally found me one interview that later would be a very big turning point in my career.
I can confidently say that I found a practice that really matches my values and beliefs, and I know that I'll be happy with where I'm going. I suggest you reach out to the CMDA placement services and they can kind of help you navigate through it.
I remain very grateful for CMDA placement services for being so crucial in a moment in my life where God obviously used CMDA to further guide me in my path.
Just thankful for what they gave to me and would recommend you reaching out if you are also in a position where you're looking for where to sign.
I would encourage any of you who are looking for placement to reach out to CMDA Placement Services. They're instrumental in my path, in my career, and hopefully they can help you too.
I mean, this is not self-published. The imprint here, I think, is Westboro.
Yeah, it's Westboro Press. Yeah.
Which is a division of Thomas Nelson. So,
very
obviously,
good. Mm-hmm.
There were individuals who saw the real value in this book going to print. Do you feel like there's another type of book inside you? You seem like you're a prolific writer, so you do a lot of writing. Do you think you'll do another book?
Thank you. I do. I have another one on my computer already. And actually, the title I was going to use for this one, I ended up bumping it to the second one. Okay. This one just through and through, just when the title came to me, I was like, this is perfect. Yeah. So, but I have another title out there that I'll use. I would prefer to do maybe something a little different next time. Westboro has been fantastic, but I'd prefer to maybe have like an agent or something and do something a little bit different. So, yeah.
Fair enough. Good.
Yeah.
Well, again, this book is to be digested slow. It's meant to dip in and out. It's meant to be, and I trust the Lord will point individuals to certain chapters at just that moment of in their life when it's most needed, that word from Him. And anything you'd like to say to the listeners? Now, you got a lot of trainees, and I'm hoping trainees, if you haven't had your spouses listen to this podcast, do so, because this is really a lot, really mostly for them, not entirely, but what would you say to them just as a fellow journey person through this medical marriage journey? What would you say to encourage them?
I definitely agree with you about, connecting with a chapter of Side by Side or the CMDA students or something so that they're not alone in this in this training. I think also finding physicians who have done this for several decades is very valuable. I just told my husband the other day, I said, I feel like the Lord is, and I'm not sure where we're moving with this, but I feel like the Lord is calling us to speak into the lives of this next generation of physicians.
Oh, I think that's great.
So I'm not sure how that looks. I'm not sure what that means, but I just feel like, and again, we don't know everything, but just that idea of coming alongside these students, these young married couples, whomever, and to just walk through them, walk through this with them. And so I think that's, for me, that's key. Now, whether or not, I'm not sure how those doors are going to open, but we'll see.
Well, I think that would be an incredible calling for you and Mark. I know we talk about mentoring a lot too within the context of this ministry. Sometimes it's more professional to professional, but to have mentoring happen in with couples, I think, and I think that would be an incredible investment. And I hope and trust, as the Lord has put that desire in your heart, that He'll open up the doors so that you'll be able to walk through those. That'd be fantastic, Dawn.
I hope so.
Well, this has been great conversation. We're I've just skimmed the surface of this book. Of course, there's a lot to dig into. Of course, take it slow. Let the Lord speak to you through it. We're going to put a link and information in the show notes so people will know where to find the book and find you and any of your writings. Maybe slip in a video of your stand-up routine somewhere.
I don't know. I got a whole thing about being married to a doctor, and I've had people come up to me afterwards and that was so good. I don't know. We'll see.
I think we need to find that.
I'll have to link it somehow. Yeah, it's out there somewhere.
Okay. All right. Well, Dawn, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on this episode of CMDA Student Pulse Podcast. God bless.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. You too.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA Student Pulse Podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is nonpartisan and does not endorse candidates or political parties for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.